Chapter 14. Which you? Which world? Your daily reality as the expression of specific probable events. The brain can be called simply the physical counterpart of the mind. By means of the brain, the functions of the soul and intellect are connected with the body. Through the characteristics of the brain, events that are of non-physical origin become physically valid. There is a definite filtering and focusing effect at work, then. Practically speaking, you do indeed form the appearance that reality takes through your conscious beliefs. Those beliefs are used as screening and directing agents, separating certain non-physical probable events from others, and bringing them into three-dimensional actuality. Other probable events could just as well become physically experienced ones. Those beliefs about yourself form your own self-image, and define your concepts of what is possible or not possible for you. You will choose from those non-physical probable events, therefore, only those you feel you are in accord with. Because of your psychological and psychic structure, there is within the rich makeup of your being a literally endless variety of what you may call probable selves. In one reality or another, these will all be experienced. In your present existence, however, you will utilize only those psychological characteristics that you believe you possess. So, you see, the personality cannot be defined as being thus and so. The physical constitution of the body follows your beliefs, and so all of its sense data will faithfully mirror the beliefs that direct its activity. In certain terms, hypnosis is simply an exercise in the alteration of beliefs, and only too clearly shows that sense experience follows expectations. The you that you presently conceive yourself to be represents the emergence into a physical experience of but one probable state of your being, who then directs corporeal life and frames and defines all sense data. When your ideas about yourself change, so does your experience. Even the intimate body experience alters. You may say that you are vu. But which you are you? In the most personal terms, each individual creates his own world. The biological equipment of your creaturehood directs your mass experience enough so that agreement is reached, but only along certain general lines. The overall private experience that you perceive forms your world, period. But which world do you inhabit? For if you altered your beliefs and therefore your private sensations of reality, then that world, seemingly the only one, would also change. You do go through transformations of beliefs all the time, and your perception of the world is different. You seem to be, no longer, the person that you were. You are quite correct. You are not the person that you were, and your world has changed, and not just symbolically. Often you fall into lapses in which you actually pull in your consciousness, so to speak, and experience life in a lesser fashion. In such a state, you do not seem to experience yourself directly. And indeed, in the midst of what you think of as the waking state, you act in the most mechanical of fashions, following habit and being less aware of sensual stimuli. On such occasions, your beliefs usually lose their edge, the directions you give to your body are not clear, and the world seems fuzzy. This is often a time of deep unconscious activity, when new latent probable characteristics are bidding their time, so to speak, waiting for emergence. In your terms, probable events are brought into actuality by utilizing the body's nerve structure through certain intensifies of will or conscious belief. These beliefs obviously have another reality beside the one with which you are familiar. They attract and bring into being certain events instead of others. Therefore, they determine the entry of experienced events from an endless variety of probable ones. You seem to be at the center of your world, because for you your world begins with that point of intersection where soul and physical consciousness meet. In surface terms, the sense of I that you possess is the result of constantly emerging probable identities, given continuity in time through the physical apparatus of the body with its built-in intervals of nerve reaction. You only remember the portion of your identity that is physically realized, those portions that are drawn into corporeal pattern, with gestures, and forcefully. This is the result of the focusing and yet limiting behavior of the physical brain, for effective survival behavior in your reality depends upon time reactions. The nerve pattern's activity therefore causes the illusion of a present in which your consciousness appears focused and alert. In certain terms, future events exist now, but they are too fast. They jump over the nerve endings too quickly, and physically you cannot perceive or experience them as yet. Impulses possess a far different reality than physicists or biologists suppose. As you think now, past is still occurring. The drag still leaps the synapses, but, again, is not physically recorded. Past events continue. Consciously, you only experience portions of events with your corporeal structure, yet the structure itself records them. In such a way, the cells retain their memory, though you do not perceive it, and the body is aware of so-called future occurrences, though as a rule you do not consciously sense this. Suddenly very intense and fast. At other levels of psychic activity, however, such knowledge is also available to you, but only when you disconnect your experience from the time-activated neuronal structure, and this you can do through various alterations of consciousness, often quite spontaneously adopted. Many such states can give you a far greater direct experience with the nature of your non-corporeal reality than any normally conscious questioning. Which you? Which world? You can to some extent discover for yourself the other probable yous that are a portion of your being. Future events are also your selection of probable ones, however, and many occurrences in which you are involved speed past you too quickly for your neuronal structure. These are not served up to you as your present. They represent your experience on other than physical levels. My dear friend Rupert, briefly Lowther, has to some extent given an analogy of this in the first Oversoul 7 book, a novel. You perceive a certain event is present. Your beliefs give it entry through the nerve synapses, and attract it. It then seems to become the past. You have only tuned into a portion of it physically, though, that past event continues to exist with its own future, which you may or may not perceive, according to which probable action you pull into your next experiences of actuality. The past does have its own past, present and future, therefore. From a given past event you will only materialize a particular future, but the event itself continues, and possesses a dimensionality of its own, or rather a multidimensionality that you also possess. You can dip into cellular memory, for example. Using memory, you follow but one recognized sequence of remembered events backward. There are elements in your past that are as unpredictable, however, as the elements in your future now appear to be, emphatically. There is creativity in your past waiting for you even as there is in your future, but to utilize such experiences you must learn to alter your beliefs, and to some degree escape from the particular kind of limited conscious focus that you habitually use. The physical structure itself contains within it the necessary prerequisites for what you would call evolutions of consciousness, and even for, within certain limits, the organization of experience in ways that might seem quite alien to you now. Sense data can be organized in different fashions. Mechanisms and pathways exist, making it quite possible for you to see sound, or hear color, although that is not your primary habit at this time. In certain terms, time intervals are jumped, as when a past smell or sight is suddenly perceived with present vividness, though you would say it has already occurred in the past. Under particular conditions, a memory may suddenly become more real than the event of the present moment, and so rush again into your current experience as validly as when it was first lived, and even seem to blot out the occurrences of the moment. This could not happen if your physical structure did not have built-in mechanisms allowing it to, and if under certain conditions the normal intervals between the synapses of the nerve cells could not be leaped in a different fashion. In the same way, a future experience may also be physically perceived in your present. Now beneath your usual consciousness, your physical organism can react to future events without your knowledge, as it can to past ones. In such cases, the intensity of the initially non-physical event is enough to break through normal neuronal patterns. If you are aware of such a future episode, you will be forced to react to it as a conscious being. In any case, your temporal structure will respond whether or not you are aware of the reasons for such behavior. The future incident may then occur in its time sequence, and you recognize it through memory, in which case your reactions in that future present will be altered because of the seemingly past memory. In your terms, that event may never come to pass, however, because it may be arising from a probable past that was once your present, but from which you have diverged. This is one of the reasons why psychics' predictions often do not seem to bear out, for at every point you do indeed have the free will, through your beliefs, to alter your experience. Your beliefs form the pivot of your present experience. In your terms, practically speaking, probable events seem to make more sense when you think of them as latent future ones. The fact remains that there are probable past events that can still happen within your personal previous experience. A new event can literally be born in the past, now. On a grand scale, this rarely occurs in such a way that you perceive it, and you had better underline the whole last part. A new belief in the present, however, can cause changes in the past on a neuronal level. You must understand that basically time is simultaneous. Present beliefs can indeed alter the past. In some cases of healing, in the spontaneous disappearance of cancer, for instance, or of any other disease, certain alterations are made that affect cellular memory, genetic codes, or neuronal patterns in the past. In such instances, there is, as easily as I can explain it, a reaching into deep biological structures as they existed at one time. At that point, the probabilities are altered, and the condition erased in your present, but also in your past. A sudden or intense belief in health can indeed reverse a disease, but in a very practical way, it is a reversal in terms of time. New memories are inserted in place of the old ones, as far as cells are concerned under such conditions. This kind of therapy happens quite frequently on a spontaneous basis when people rid themselves of diseases they do not even know they possess. Learning is not simply passed on from living tissue to living tissue, this your biologists have discovered, but it is also passed on through the body's present corporeal reality, sometimes entirely changing the messages to past cells that in your terms no longer exist. In somewhat the same way, a strong belief in a particular ability generated in the present will reach into the past and effect whatever changes would have had to occur there, with gestures in order to now make the ability apparent. This is the reason for the results of some experiments being conducted abroad, in which accelerated learning takes place, when under hypnosis or otherwise a present individual is convinced that he or she is, for example, a great painter or linguist. The present belief activates latent abilities within each person. Asterisk. The biological structure as it existed in the past is therefore affected. Experience is built into the organism that it did not have before, in your terms. It is a sort of reprogramming. It is impossible, of course, for you to examine cellular structure now as it exists in the present and simultaneously as it existed in the past, very positively. Scientifically, you can only probe those effects that appear within your present. When you alter your beliefs today, you also reprogram your past. As far as you are concerned, the present is your point of action, focus, and power, and from that point of volition, you form both your future and past. Realizing this, you will understand that you are not at the mercy of a past over which you have no control. While your present conscious beliefs dictate your current experience, and while your physical body wears its solidity only in present time to your senses, beneath this both the ever-changing elements of your body and your consciousness are relatively free in time. They exist in a multidimensionality with which rational consciousness is not yet equipped to deal. This is not meant to dilute the function or natural abilities of reasoning awareness, for its powers allow you to focus experience in a highly specific manner, and to direct energy with great purposeful attention. In your terms, this action is in the process of automatically changing the nature of rational consciousness, which is, as you think of it, in a state of evolution. Your consciousness is not a thing that you possess. Your individuality is not a thing with limits. If you ask, what is my individuality in all of this? Or, which guy am I? Then you are automatically thinking of yourself as a psychological entity with definite boundaries that must be protected at all costs. You may say, I was born in a house on a certain street in a certain town, and no present belief to the contrary will change that fact. If, in the present, one past event can be altered within your neuronal structure, however, then basically no event is safe from such change. In your practical experience, tables remain tables, although physicists well note that physical appearance is in some ways a mirage. At our level of experience, many effects are accepted and used quite practically, as are your solid tables. You do not perceive the atoms or molecules that compose them, so in the same way, but in a different manner of speaking, events seem solid as tables do. Yet at other levels, this seeming solidity of events also breaks down. Which world? A sudden contemporary belief in illness will actually reach back into the past, affecting the organism at that level, and inserting into the past experience of the cells the initiation of those biological events that will then seem to give birth to a present disease. In the current pivoting of its experience, therefore, your conscious mind directs not only the present, but future and past experience of deep neurological events. Cellular memory can be changed at any point. Present beliefs can insert into the past new memory, both psychologically and physically. The future is in no way predetermined on basic levels. This does not mean that the future cannot be predicted sometimes, For in practical terms you will often continue with certain lines of probability which can be seen ahead of time. Such predictions can affect the probabilities, of course, and reinforce a present line of belief. Physicians often wonder whether they should tell terminal patients of their impending deaths. There is great controversy. In some cases such a prediction can make death a fact, while its opposite can regenerate the patient's belief in his or her own ability to live. No man will die simply because a physician tells him he is going to, however, no one is so at the mercy of another's beliefs. Each individual, generally speaking, knows his challenges and overall programs, and the time of his death. But even such decisions can be altered at any time in your now. The entire body can be regenerated in a way that would be impossible to predict in usual medical terms. See Chapter 5. You rule your experiences from the focal point of your present, where your beliefs directly intersect with the body and the physical world on the one hand, and the invisible world from which you draw your energy and strength on the other. This applies to individuals, societies, races and nations, and to sociological, biological and psychic activities. In daily practical experience, try to concentrate for a while upon seemingly subordinate abilities, ones that you think of as latent. If you do so consistently, using your imagination and will, then those abilities will become prominent in your present. The current beliefs will reprogram and alter past experience. It is not simply that past, forgotten, unconsciously perceived events will be put together in a new way and organized under a new heading, but that in that past, now not perceivable, the entire bodily response to seemingly past events will change. Very forcefully, with many pauses, your desire or belief will literally be reaching back into time, teaching the nerves new tricks. Definite reorganizations in that past will occur in your present, allowing you to behave in entirely new fashions. Learned behavior therefore alters not only present and future but also past conduct. Your power as a rational consciousness focused in the present provides you with opportunities for creativity that you are but vaguely learning to understand. As you do learn, you will automatically begin to appreciate the multidimensional nature of not only your own species but of others as well. The moment as you think of it, then, is the creative framework through which you, the non-physical self, constantly form corporeal reality, and through that window into earthly existence you form both its future and its past. In purely physical terms, what you think of as consciousness of the self arises from a certain peak of intensity reached by the gestalt consciousness of the atoms and molecules and cells and organs that compose the body. The peculiarly physically oriented self that you know has its reality in that context, but even in physical terms its reality is more than an analysis of its entirety would show. It then directs the activity of the body, and is to that extent dependent upon neurological activity. The psychic structure of consciousness that organizes that bodily gestalt is, however, not dependent upon it, and so the you that you experience is only a portion of this greater identity. During certain stages in sleep states you short-circuit the neurological structures, and perceive experiences of a multidimensional nature that you then attempt to translate, as best you can, into stimuli that can be physically assimilated. Hence you often convert these into symbolic images that can be understood, and to some extent reacted to, by your bodily structure. Many times such constructions are used as inner visual patterns. For example, visually they often bear a similarity to the inner architecture of the cells, and to planets. Your dream images are biologically structured, then. The experiences behind them bring you in contact with the deepest portions of your non-physical reality, and it is the unconscious who translates these for you into recognizable images and forms. In the same way your unconscious also transforms for you, from an otherwise undifferentiated maze of reality, fields of activation into recognizable objects and events in your daily life. You are now rooted in your creaturehood, graced to perceive through your body a unique living experience. So when I mention techniques that will allow you to perceive other fields of reality beside your own, I want you to realize that these should be used to enhance your enjoyment of that creaturehood, and to enrich your sensual as well as spiritual expression. In the brilliance of your physical being, both are entwined. Your neuronal activity structures your conscious experience, then. The overall rhythms of your creaturehood automatically bring you into periods of rest and intense focus. The night and day constitute a framework within which your experience is couched, providing the conscious mind with needed stimuli and relaxation, and allowing for proper assimilation of events. As mentioned, in Chapter 13, Even then, the body construction has built-in mechanisms to alter such an arrangement when further data can be handled. As a rule, you have enough difficulty dealing with the day's occurrences, much less next week's, and so in the sequence of events, the reality of probable actions is usually hidden from your view. This more complex reality is an ever-existing property of your personal creaturehood. Beside this, in your terms, you exist as a creature more than once. In each of your reincarnational existences, you are faced with the same relationship with probabilities. In each case, also, the nature of the conscious mind sets up its own territory of identity, with hyphens, that it regards as its own. This provides a clear focus in which present action can be considered. These incarnations are all simultaneous. A death is but one night to the soul. The vaster entity of which you are a part follows your progress as easily as you follow your own through the days. As a rule, most of you wake up in the same bed in the same house or town, but certainly you wake up as the same person in the same century. In those terms, the entity wakes up as a different person each day, in a different century, each life seeming like a day in its level of experience. It carries the memory and simultaneous experience of each of those selves. A form is basically non-physical. What you see a form is only that part that can be effectively active or materialized within your system of reality. So the entity in its own way possesses what you can think of as future neuronal structures. Underline this whole last sentence. Within that vast form is your own, which is briefer, yet is not lost, not limited and not predetermined. You form your corner of the universe, which is itself a part of another one. Within this, the actions and beliefs of one affect all. Each part is vital, and in one way or another there is greater than instant communication between the smallest and the largest, the cobweb and the spider, the man, the entity, and the star, and each spins its own web of probabilities from which other universes continually spring. Which you? Which world? All of this may seem to have little to do with your daily personal experience, and yet it is intimately connected. For personally and en masse you can indeed create the best of all possible worlds. The performance of a great athlete gives evidence of abilities inherent in the human form that are little used. Great artists by their very works demonstrate other attributes latent in the race as a whole. They still represent one-line delineations, however, within the experience of your race as you know it lie all the patterns that would point to some fully developed human being in which all inherent tendencies were given full play and came to fruition. You would have an individual who displayed within himself or herself all of those great abilities known to the race, fulfilled according to his own unique temper, the artist, mathematician, athlete, the inventor, all the extraordinary qualities of creatordom, the emotional realities would be used to their capacity, and any of the racial qualities or characteristics of the species would be given their complete freedom. Wisdom and foolishness would be seen as aspects, one of the other. Religion and science would each be unhampered by dogma in such an individual. In the same way, following your own trace experiences and characteristics, you can discover those probable abilities that are yours, and uncover to some degree the nature of probable actions open to you for physical materialization. There are traces in your present experience of your probable selves, even as there are signs in each individual of all the great talents shown and developed so flamboyantly by a few. These traces can be brought into your experience to enrich it. They do so in any case on unconscious levels, where they form the basis from which you choose your current experience. The next brief chapter will be devoted to methods that will allow you to take advantage of greater options to bring into your daily experience events and experiences that have so far remained latent. In each individual case, the options will be different, of course, yet you can draw into your present life some knowledge and intimate connection with your own probable realities. On a conscious basis, then, you can learn to deepen the dimensions of your life by pulling into it the rich fabric of probabilities.